Hello, my name is Emily Hines, and I attend Houston City Council meetings and I take notes. And now I am sharing those notes with you. Today's notes are from the council meeting on May 29th, 2024. There was a public hearing on the budget, but there were no public speakers. The mayor also did not do a mayor's report, so I will begin by going over some agenda items. Item 11 approved $262,000 for fencing, locks, and the boarding of windows and doors at the Spring Village Apartments in District K. The supporting document said squatters have established residence in the units and have altered wiring to reinstate electricity. This property was part of a disaster recovery buyout that relocated the previous residence to a not flood-prone property. Item 13 approved $521,000 for the installation of temporary restroom and shower trailers at the Police Academy because of construction and renovation. Item 15 approved $183,000 for smoke alarms, bed shakers, and flashers for the fire department. These alarms are designed for hearing and visually impaired people. Item 17 approved an additional $2.3 million for the Rapid Rehousing Financial Assistance Program for unhoused people. Similarly, items 18 and 19 approved administrative costs for homeless programs for $200,000 and $143,000, respectively. Item 31 approved extending the contract with JPMorgan Chase for banking services of the controller's office. This item is a stopgap while procurement works on a new contract. Councilmember Thomas asked how often the city looks at which banks to use. This contract was awarded in 2019. Mayor Whitmire said, "You've been here 4 more years longer than I have," implying she should know the answer. Item 32 approved increasing the contract for veterinary services for HPD canines from $458,000 to $573,000. Next, I'm going to go over the council member pop-off section. This is when council members get to bring up stuff that isn't on the agenda. Councilmember Castix Tatum plugged the grand opening of the Dr. Shannon Walker Library on Saturday, June 1st. Councilmember Martinez plugged his next Coffee with a Councilmember event on June 8th and the Family with Pride event on June 1st at Discovery Green. Councilmember Alcorn plugged the final budget workshop on Thursday. She advocated for general additional revenue sources, saying that lowering costs will not be sufficient to balance the budget. Budget amendments from councilmembers are due June 5th. Councilmember Evan Shabazz asked the mayor if the city can spray for mosquitoes. She plugged a hurricane preparedness workshop on June 3rd and a U.S. Armed Forces Day this Saturday at 3850 Live Oak. Councilmember Castillo plugged a Back to Summer Bash at Moody Park on Saturday, June 1st. Councilmember Davis plugged a town hall on June 3rd at the Frank Seals Gym. He offered a Memorial Day remembrance and seemed to sort of shame other councilmembers for not mentioning Memorial Day enough. Councilmember Thomas outlined several infrastructure projects ongoing and upcoming in District F. She listed several initiatives included in her Summer of Safety program, like an event on June 11th, some swim safety events on June 15th and July 13th, fire prevention initiatives, and a stray animal sweep. She also really recommended signing up for the District F newsletter, which will have information about all of that stuff. Councilmember Pollard really stole the pop-off show today. First off, he criticized the budget process and the proposed budget's lack of new funding sources. He complained, again, that council still has not seen details of the firefighter agreement, but will be expected to vote on a budget that includes it. He remarked on the drainage fee lawsuit that could result in a $100 million liability and the fact that that's not reflected in the proposed budget at all. Next, he made some remarks relating to Mayor Whitmire's remarks on the rapid transit line from Gulfton to the Galleria. Mayor Whitmire was recently quoted saying, quote, "They are," referring to Gulfton residents, "largely undocumented immigrants. They just want basic services. They don't want to be part of the Galleria. You think they're going to be welcome in the Galleria?" End quote. At the meeting, Pollard said the mayor's comments generalized the diverse Gulfton and Galleria communities. He asked the mayor to engage with the community itself and him, the person elected to represent the community being discussed. He said, quote, "If we're not a part of these conversations, then there are no conversations being had that are meaningful," end quote. The mayor responded with vitriol. He referenced conversations with newly arrived Guatemalans, Hondurans, Salvadorians, who said they don't need the rapid transit line. They need basic services like reliable transit to the Baker Ripley Center. He said his comments were taken out of context. He accused Pollard of using his comments for political advantage, saying, quote, "There's a time to campaign and there's a time to go to work," end quote. Whitmire shared the same two anecdotes he did last week about reaching into his own pockets to help storm victims and having his security detail give a ride home to a family. He said, quote, "I will match my record with immigrants with anyone. It's a calling. I care. If you want to use misrepresentations for your political purposes, have at it. But the public knows better," end quote. He was truly incensed. Finally, I'm going to go over the public speakers. I don't usually report on the public comment portion of the meeting because it usually happens on Tuesday and I only watch the Wednesday portion of the meeting. But on holiday weeks, both sessions are combined to take place on Wednesday, so you get to hear about that this week. Speaker one complained about funding for the arts, the upcoming Families with Pride event, and Councilmember Kamen in general. Speaker 2 plugged the Fade to Black Arts Festival and asked for help with funding. Speaker 3 commented on Metro plans, including that BRT and Metro Next. Speaker 4 started out complaining about a civil rights violation, but their comments devolved and it was difficult to make sense of them. Speaker 5 complained about conditions at Independence Hall. Speaker 6 advocated for the Sunnyside Solar Farm. Speaker 7 was the mother of a cyclist who was killed on May 24th. She talked about uncertainties and peculiarities in her son's case and the accident itself. Mayor Whitmire referred her to an HPD officer in the chamber, and they left together to hopefully sort it all out. Speaker 8 advocated for storm resilience in general and for the resilience hub in Kashmir Gardens to be functional. Speaker 9 criticized the city's response to the recent storms. Speaker 10 spoke out on the genocide in Palestine. Speaker 11 advocated for the Sunnyside Solar Farm, particularly for using funds from the Solar for All federal grant. Speaker 12 criticized FEMA for doing a crappy job distributing disaster supplies and just complained about social ills in general. Speaker 13 spoke against the genocide in Palestine. Speaker 14 began by criticizing Councilmember Huffman for being on her phone during public comment session. She spoke against the genocide in Palestine. She criticized Councilmembers Huffman and Peck for supporting a Republican youth organization that supports Israel. I didn't fact check this at the time, but a reader did send me an Instagram post verifying this after I posted the notes. And that's all I have for you today. This was sort of an irregular meeting, but they have all kind of been irregular in some way or another since this administration started. I want to thank our Patreon supporters, and we have two new people to thank, Kim and Andrew. Thank you. That link is patreon.com/EmilyTakesNotes if anyone listening would like to join that very cool team of people that helped make this podcast happen. And you get a shout out on this podcast. This podcast was recorded by and has music by Joe Wozni, and it was produced by Connor Clifton. That's it for this week. I'm Emily Hines, and I thank you for listening.